This is The Record on KUOW Seattle. I'm Ross Reynolds.
And I'm Marcy Silman. Canada's Olympians are enjoying a pretty good run so far at the Winter Games in Sochi. Just today, the Canadian women's hockey team rallied to beat the American women by a score of 3-2. The teams are expected to meet again in the gold medal round, but you never know. Joining us now with an Olympics update and more news from Canada, Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer. Hi, Vaughn.
Hi, Marcy.
Three goals in the third period. The Canadian women beat the Americans. That's got to hurt here. I don't know how you guys feel up there.
Well, the Canadian women has been, that team has done very, very well over the years, and their Canadians sort of expect the women's team to win gold, and they kind of expect the men's team to win gold as well, although they don't always do that. The main competition for the title among the women's hockey teams, of course, is the United States. So beating them, yes, and expected to meet them in the final. The general medal count for Canada out of these games is very, very good. It's, you know, we hosted the Olympics here in Vancouver 4 years ago. I don't follow these things that closely, as you know, but I gather we're ahead of the pace we were in 2010 hosting the Olympics in terms of medals won to date. 10, I think, so far.
Yeah, gold medals as well. I have to say the most touching thing I saw on the NBC coverage was a profile of the young guy from Quebec province who won, I think, in freestyle or mogul skiing, who has a brother who's disabled, who was there, and everybody's weeping at the end.
Yeah, that was very moving because the brother act was part of the 2010 games as well. He regards his disabled brother as his inspiration. You touched on something else, which is an interesting story developing here, is the large number of Canadian medals that have been won by Quebecers. Canada's French-Canadian province has its own sports promotion. They've put a fair amount of effort into it. They've been called the Australia of Canada, and that's paying off as well. So they're all Canadians, and Canada's delighted with the medals, but there's a story developing which I think we'll see after the games, which is whether Quebec, by its special attention to training young athletes, has increased the country's medal count. And that may be something that other Canadian provinces should be considering for the next games.
Interesting. You mentioned, as we all remember, Vancouver hosted the last Winter Games 4 years ago, and I know quite a bit of money was spent there, but nothing like the $50 billion number that's being thrown around as to how much was spent in Sochi. So, first of all, remind me how much Canadians invested in the Olympics, and then let me know what you got to show for it after the games.
Our games are looking like bargain basement, discount games now. I mean, we thought the number was pretty high then. It's about $8 or $9 billion all in. Now, that included a transit line that's still there, included a new highway to Whistler that's still there, included a big convention center that's still there, so we got to keep some of the facilities. Still expensive, a lot of money. Canadians thought it was controversial at the time. The other thing about the Olympics, and you don't too often hear this from host governments that are promoting the games, is in the aftermath. Much of what was said before the games about all the great benefits we would see in terms of tourism, visitors, economic growth, haven't really materialized. I mean, if your government spends $9 billion, you're going to see some benefits, so I'm not saying there was none, but tourism numbers have been flat. Yes, some people heard of Whistler for skiing. They hadn't heard of it before. And yes, the economy's generally been down the last few years, so it's hard to break out the Olympic numbers. But somebody wrote a very good report for London, for the British government, before they hosted the Olympic Games and the Summer Games. And that report said that the main impact on a country of hosting the Olympics is the feel-good factor. It builds national morale. It provides a national government with an excuse for building some things that they might have built anyway. And the host community, the host city, gets some benefits that it wouldn't have gotten otherwise. But still comes down to the feel-good factor. British Columbians felt very good about their games. Many people still do. It was a public relations success. And I have to say, looking at Russia from this distance, you wish them well, Sochi. So far, things have gone quite well. Now that the games themselves have opened and the journalists have stopped whining about their accommodation.
Well, there is one big, very controversial issue that's been hanging still over these games, and that's what Russia has mandated towards its LGBT community. There, in fact, I spoke last week with somebody based in Toronto who put out a 30-second public service announcement that's gone viral on Facebook about that. The Canadian Institute of Diversity, it was two luge riders, if that's what you do on a luge, very overtly suggesting that they were gay. Vancouver, on this issue, sent your deputy mayor to Sochi, who is gay. What happened?
Yeah, I think actually losers are people who cling on for dear life, but
losers.
My impression of luge watching it. No, it's too bad. It's too bad for the Russians. It's too bad for the athletes who've gone and done well that this cloud does hang over the games. And various countries have tried to deal with it in different ways. In Vancouver, the city council unanimously voted to send our openly gay deputy mayor, Tim Stevenson, to Sochi. He sought meetings there with various leaders. He did not get to see the head of the IOC. He did manage to get to see a couple of Olympic officials, and he says they were sympathetic and that the International Olympic Committee re-emphasized its commitment to not being discriminatory. He did try to seek a meeting with the mayor of Sochi because the mayor of Sochi had been quoted as saying there were no gay people in Sochi, which is preposterous, I expect, but in any event, he wouldn't see Stevenson either. But I think the gesture was important. It is just a gesture. There's not an awful lot that we can do here or anywhere else to influence the law in Russia. But I think that other countries and Canada, British Columbia, Vancouver, have together at least managed to make a statement about it, to make a statement of regret, and I hope that's done some good.
I'm talking with Vancouver Sun columnist and regular Record guest Vaughn Palmer. Another very serious story you highlighted for us this week. In Victoria, a pregnant woman is on life support after she suffered a brain hemorrhage in late December. This woman is clinically brain dead. Her husband wants to keep her on life support long enough for their child to be born.
Yeah, the story I sent you was the one that ran in the New York Times one day last week, and people may have seen it. It was in the New York Times on February the 7th. Since that story ran, there's been a couple of developments. The baby has now been born, baby Ivor, and he was born at Victoria Hospital on Saturday. His dad, most Canadian news media had a picture of his dad holding the baby on Sunday. And his wife is now deceased. She had been declared brain dead before. She, as you say, was being kept alive till the baby could be delivered. They delivered the baby early. They had just reached, they felt, the limit of what medical science could do for the baby. So it's a premature baby and under, obviously, very close watch at the hospital. Very, very moving story. The father, Dylan Benson, he was only married 6 months to his wife when she had the brain hemorrhage and died. He's had a blog that's very, very touching. And, of course, he was quoted in various media on Sunday as saying it was the happiest and, you know, the saddest day of his life. It's hard to think of it and read the stories and not get choked up about it. What he's had to go through, but there he is. He is. He started a website to some friends and supporters and family to raise some money to help him. He's a single father. Canadians have come forward on that one. He's raised about $150,000, but I don't think anybody makes light of the life ahead of him. It's going to be tough.
Thanks for bringing that to our attention. Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer joins us every Wednesday with news from Canada. We'll talk with you next week, Vaughn.
Bye-bye, Marcy.
It's The Record from KUOW.